listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm just gonna freestyle the lyrics. I'm just gonna do the lyrics. I already know this song by heart. You wanna sip more on my living room floor? Play Nintendo with C's and Alamo. Get money. Hey.
Get money.
Put your hands up. Hands up. Hey. Titty say it be IG. You wanna be my main squeeze, baby?
Don't you? You wanna get my swimming knees, baby?
Don't you? Hey. Welcome to the Black Out
Tips. Stand in the balconies. Put your hands up.
Welcome to the Black Out Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Saturday morning. We might do a show tomorrow. I'm not sure. I know we got I know Monday for sure. We want no more shows after that for the week, but we might do a show tomorrow. So, you know, it won't be too longly of a week for you guys. But, yeah, this is, either the last show or the second to last show before we take this week off. So just warning your ass right now. Of course, you can find this show on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search The Black Guy Who Tips and, it'll come up, dog. And you can be like, oh, let me leave these niggas a 5-star review. And if you do that, I say, if you do that, we'll be eternally thankful, but we'll also read it on the show as we're about to read some 5-star reviews today. That's right. That's how real we keep it. Okay. We read 5-star reviews like every time you leave a good one that we like. Some of these shows out here be half-assing, but not us. Mm-mm.
We sure don't.
The official weapon of the show is
a taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball, extreme. And today marks day 584 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. $2 million bail, still not being lowered. Crazy. People just forgot about Bobby, just like that. But we won't. Mm-mm. Okay? Bobby, we got your back. Okay? I don't know if you can listen to podcasts in the joint.
Yeah, I don't know if you can stream.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are.
But we support you, sir.
You know, anybody got like butt phones in there and stuff that they got for people? You know, I heard that's what it is.
Oh.
You know, but hey, however you got to get your data on. I hope you're using a little bit for this because we riding with you, brother. Mm-hmm. This episode is also brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm. That's right. A feedback show is brought to you by the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game. Say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com. Use TBGWT as your code to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right. Let's get into the people that took the time out to donate to the show. Okay. And let me find some good donation music. Since I forgot to open up Spotify. Where I kept that other track.
So we gonna get a visiting choir today.
You gonna get a visiting choir this time. I don't even know what songs I got for y'all. How about we will play nope, not that. Nope. I don't even know what that song is.
Yeah. I don't know what that song is.
How about oh yeah, this is a song. My dad sent me this and I was going through a little tough time when he sent me this. And the song always brings a smile to my face. It's War and it's called Don't Let No One Get You Down. And then we're going to get these announcements out too. Mm-hmm. Conrad L, recurring donator. Thank you, Playboy.
Thank you, baby.
For that change broke off for your home team. Shout out to Tabitha M, recurring donator.
Thank you, Tabitha.
Corey the Tickler, recurring donator. Thank you. Been riding for a long time, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see you still around, not on the sick and shut in list.
I know, right?
Brina H, recurring donator. Thank you, Brina. Chris from Hawaii, always live tweeting the show and dropping his, as he calls them, Rodism, Karenism, Justinisms. Stephanie W, I think she's new. She is new. Welcome to the new members class.
Welcome, sweetie.
Film Press Comics, of course. That's where you need to get your comics, guys. Everybody knows this.
Uh-huh.
David S, recurring donator. Thank you, David. We appreciate you.
We do.
I think that's David in Brooklyn. Ricky A, recurring donator. Pretty Ricky, what they call him.
Hey, Ricky.
P, Pete B, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Pete B.
Hey, Pete.
Hope everything's going good with you and third base. Anthony Von D, recurring donator. Renate M, recurring donator.
Hey, sweetie.
You know our girl Olivia from Chicago, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get her. They tried to take her out, but she's still standing, still strong.
They couldn't take a good woman down.
Shout out to Antoine Fisher. Jamar D, recurring donator. Oh, of course, Bomani Jones, the homie. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Recurring donator, we appreciate you. You know, just listen to the right time today. Just binging through it. So, Tiffany P, recurring donator. Niggle Z, recurring donator.
That's new, ain't it?
Nah, Nick been around.
Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. It's so many, I can't remember all the members. My bad.
It's all good. Rita Mae C, recurring donator. Thank you, Rita Mae.
Hey, sweetie.
And that appears to be everybody. So we
that
appreciate.
That sounds like a great aunt name.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate everybody doing that. Play me out, war. Man, that sounds so good. All right. Let's get in here and talk about different stuff that's going on. I guess the first thing we always does is we talks about them 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm. On iTunes and Stitcher.
That's correct.
Yes, because Google Play don't have reviews.
Oh, they need to get on that.
Yeah. How you going to start a new platform and I even have the bare minimum of people able to leave reviews?
We got this one from at Prof Corey. Corey with a K. Who's she's been, you know, tweeting the show and stuff. See you out there spreading the gospel. We appreciate you.
We do.
She says, you'll be glad you started listening. I'm so glad I found this podcast. I can promise you it will easily become something you look forward to hearing. Rod and Karen cover current events, but they offer commentary that resists the racism, sexism, heterosexism, and classism that you can't escape in the mainstream media. I appreciate that they address issues, events I'm already thinking about, but I appreciate even more that they do it so much more thoughtfully than what Americans encounter in quote unquote legitimate news sources. You'll also come to enjoy and sing along with the theme songs for various segments. I won't list all of the segments, but I enjoy them all. Still, I'm probably most amused by the simple existence of the segment Sword Ratchetness. LOL. Do yourself a favor. Start listening. I hear you.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird because I don't think we started the show out with that. Any of that in mind. And to be honest, I don't even think of doing the show like, you know, let's stay away from racism, sexism, like all that stuff. But
if it comes up, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, but you know, but in the spirit of fairness and equality and power structures, it's hard to talk about the news and current events and not arrive at those conclusions, in my opinion.
Yes,
although,
sir.
I guess I do listen to shows where they never do, so you just kind of hope people can get it. But
yeah, it was one of the things where they might know and understand, but they go, I'm not talking about X, Y, and Z.
I think the more people do this shit and the more you're in the public eye and the more people listen, you will gravitate towards certain shit because people, I don't know, unless you just don't have any humanity. You know, because there's just certain things. When we started the show, I didn't know what transgender meant.
Oh, me either.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, I allow for the idea that people can learn and that people grow and that people, because everybody's growing, you know, even the people that, you know, you don't like and the people you don't fuck with and the celebrities that say shit that you like, how the fuck could you think that? Like, everybody's kind of on a path and you're hoping that they're growing one way or the other, but,
true.
You know, yeah, it's just, it's funny because I think our show is kind of become a place where, you know, to me, it's just not fun if everybody can't kind of get involved.
True.
To a certain extent. Now, I'm not saying you can't make any jokes and shit. I don't want to turn this to a serious political space. Like,
nah,
I do want us to be able to say
like
sword ratchetness. We do need to be able to talk about the horrible fucking crimes people do to each other and
yes,
laugh at that.
Yes, sir.
And we need to laugh at racism and laugh at this shit. But I am proud of what we've created in that environment, and we try to reflect that in all the spaces that we control. Thanks for all that you do, says Brent Telligence, who says, I listen to this podcast every day, and I'm a member of the Premium Kojic. Thank you. Get that plaque up on the wall.
You got your name sketching the bench. I seen it, baby. Mm-hmm. You got your plaque, your gold star plaque on the floor. Your shingles is up there with your name on it.
You can get that crest. You can get that crest. Rod and Karen have helped me to look at things through other perspectives than just mine. I appreciate y'all for that. And I am a fan of the new segment, White People News. Way to be inclusive, guys. Salute to the both of you for the great podcast. Keep up the good work. Y'all help people get through every struggle with your content. Thanks, Priest Sprintel. Yeah, man. You know what? I'm glad, man. I'm glad we had a feedback show. I'm glad that we have these people to talk to, because I know I was on Twitter the other day and this person like completely hopped down my throat, and they were just assuming the wrong thing. And it happens all the time on Twitter. You know, it's kind of it's what the medium is. You know, they assume something and it was just like, you know, and I have a lot of respect for this person. And they were just going in and I was just like, but that's not what I'm saying and all this stuff. And we kind of got to a point where they understood what I was saying. And then I was like, at the end, it was kind of like, well, you know, the point that I'm making, I've made on our podcast, and I've had fans tell me that seeing us and hearing us talk about it and corresponding with us has kind of helped people grow.
Right.
You know, like just to at least to think about things differently. And, you know, she was just kind of like, nah, that's not, you know, the people ain't changing, whatever, and all this shit. And I'm like, well, you know, I met these people to their face. Like I've had people write in and be like, yo, I used to think this, but you kind of exposed me to some shit I didn't know, or a perspective I didn't, and we all kind of grow that way. I'm not saying it's making some huge dent in society, or like racism, homophobia, misogyny, and all these things are gonna go away, but I don't know, man. I like to think that we're doing our part to kind of at least be willing to have the conversations that in a way that a lot of people aren't. You know, true. And I believe people when they say that. And that's my want to believe, you know, like that is my right to choose to believe. I don't really believe in anything much. I don't really have that much hope for humanity or anything, but you know, no one can take that away from me. I know that we've had some positive impact with some people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then also that lets you know they don't respect the work you do or know about it or care about it. So it is what it is.
Right.
It's the internet. You can respect somebody that don't respect you back. That happens all the time. A podcast gem to be revered. Rod and Karen give me so much. Oh, this is by Bam La Brujita. I think I said that right. Either that or Brujita. Rod and Karen give me so much life. The podcast is an absolute refreshing blend of real talk and comedy that spans a wide range of topics. I love this show, and I'm so glad I found it. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then we actually have two Stitcher reviews, which...
Ooh, I guess Stitcher back on at it.
I have no rhyme. There's no rhyme or reason to when y'all put these Stitches out and when mm-hmm. we get them. But let's talk mm-hmm. about some. Brian D says 5 stars, the best podcast out. The title says it all. This is a black podcast. That doesn't mean you can't listen, white people, but if you're looking for smart, funny, thoughtful discussions around current events and noteworthy news from I'm assuming black perspective. I'm assuming that's what they would have said.
Y'all,
you can get it here.
Yeah, you ran out of capacity. They was like, you met the character limit.
Mark IMK79 says 5 stars. Thank you for your voices. Your podcast is so funny, so insightful, and so real. I love Karen's laugh. Thank you for being out here speaking the truth. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And then we got comments on the website. Okay. We got one for our spoiled movie review of Ghostbusters, which is from Prof Corey, who says, this review was right on. It was good to remember that the humor is often subtle and sometimes deadpan. Every character was played perfectly. Nothing was too much, in my opinion. I went with my spouse and in-laws, and we all thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm one of those people who heard a lot about this being a normal Hollywood fail in terms of not being able to imagine the black woman character as a scientist. I found myself fairly convinced by the arguments Rod and Karen have been making about these complaints, just being resistance to the kind of black womanhood that Leslie Jones represents. But I didn't expect to think, damn, people really were just plain wrong about this being the kind of fail we've come to expect. There's simply no way to leave this movie without noticing how careful they were about underscoring everyone's importance to the team. Even the save at the end was done perfectly. It was a true rewriting of the scripts we're used to seeing, because these women save the day and save each other, and there's nothing that cheapens any of their contributions to winning those victories. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I think a lot of people aren't even going to go see the movie because they already wrote their think piece and already got their retweets and shit. But, and it wouldn't really serve a purpose because, you know, and for the record, I understand those people. There's a history there that being mistrustful to protect your own feelings is where we're at with it.
Yep. Defense mechanism. You know, I always go back to that.
Especially black women, you know, it's like, yo, I don't, as soon as they see that angry black woman stereotype, I'm sure they're like, well, I'm out. You know, it's a visceral reaction. And especially seeing Leslie Jones, they just, you know, assume that's what she's gonna be. They assume they're, you know, that you know, she's like, she's gonna be a certain type of black. And you know, there's some anti-blackness still within all of society and within all of us, just like there's misogyny in all of us. There's all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I think some people, even if they're well-meaning, can come across like, not that big black woman, not her, you know, getting a part. Like, y'all gotta write that part so another person gets that, so that, you know, we keep her off the big screen. And I think that was part of it. It's not the, you know, it's not the only part of it, but I saw some of it with my own eyes, of people talking about her blackness, talking about her femininity, talking about the way she talks and things of this nature. And you know, I think it's sad that it took the racial attacks for some people to see that they were saying the same shit as white supremacists, and some people will never see it. Some people are just gonna be content with adding to that woman's misery that week or whatever. But it's funny because a lot of people still put their arms around her and showed her love. And, you know, and it was cool to see some people that for some reason brought it to her doorstep when they didn't like the stuff with the movie. It was good to see them say, okay, well, I don't agree with these things that people are saying. So, anyway, we had, episode 1245, late night sexy feedback. And Seasick left a comment. One of the comments mentioned former police officer Michael A. Woods Jr. I followed him on Twitter for a while, and he was tweeting some really good stuff. And then he started tweeting anti-Hillary stuff under the Burn Your Bus hashtag. So I had to unfollow him, just FYI. Hey, I didn't never plan on following him or not, but, you know, I still appreciate a police officer that's willing to speak up against corruption more than I appreciate one that's out here taking hugs and shit, because, right, you know, one of them is going to pay a price and the other one's going to be lofted up every time a black person's killed, but no other time do they care about that shit. Not him, but I mean the people, right, that put him in your face, the people that share him, and no other time do they care about your black ass life. Are we leaving the world better for the next generation, yes or no? Yes, says 32% of people, and 68% of the people say no, we are not leaving it better, and there's no comments. So, interesting. Fucking it up. We just gonna have to apologize to these little kids. Dear children of the earth, my bad. Signed, our generation. Ann left a comment on episode 1246, Jive Turkey Coup. Ha ha! Ann says, what network and when will your TV show pilot air? We don't know. We'll let you know. Yeah, that's why it's a pilot. Might not even get picked up. Y'all might never see that shit. I don't know.
We don't know. We'll let you know.
Toya says, congratulations, Ryder Karen. Super proud of what you've done so far, and you continue to inspire me to keep grinding as well. Hope to see you on TV very soon. Hey, thank you, Toya. Busy Wallace. I know I watch too much porn because I almost read that as Busty Wallace. Like, Busted Wallace, who is this?
Why are they putting a message in here?
Busy Wallace says, I love you guys so much. I'm here for a 24-hour TBGWT news network. I don't write you enough because I have had to take a social media break, but y'all are the only thing keeping me in touch with what's going on in our country without making me lose my motherfucking mind. Rod, I was wondering if you could please share the name and title of the song you played while Care was gone during this episode. His name sounded like Kamal. Oh, Kamal is K-A-M-A-U. He has a EP called A Gorgeous Fortune. It's on Spotify. I'm assuming it's probably on, I mean, it's on Tidal. That's how I listen to it, but it's probably on Spotify as well. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know if I play Police or Games. But those are some, I mean, the whole EP is really good though. But, yeah, his name is Kamal. I can't find him anywhere. I obviously have the wrong spelling. Thanks so much. Keep doing what you do, and you do so well. Hugs and kisses. Thank you. Maya B says, I know black trans women who are not so much trying to divert the conversation of what Black Lives Matter is all about, but shining a light that trans women of color, especially black trans women, get no recognition in the terms of statistics or of people fighting for them. A Tumblr I follow occasionally posts stories from over the years of black trans women being killed or abused by the police. Most of the responses they get are people who are in shock and disgusted about how these were not bigger stories than they should be. See the murder of Maya Hall, a black trans woman during the Baltimore uprising. I only learned about her through Tumblr. A lot of trans women are street sex workers, and a ton of them do get sexually and physically abused by cops. But then again, outside of these women and individuals' personal stories, there are not that many statistics surrounding it. A common sentiment that these women I know have is that everyone abuses them, but as soon as they're gone, they're mourning them and giving them hollow promises to do better and fight for them. Yeah, I can understand that, man. It's also, like, that's why I said, when I think we read a piece where a person was like, well, wow, these black lives don't matter, and they had to kind of be like, well, not the organization, because the organization tries to be pretty inclusive and lift up marginalized voices and put them in vocal positions and leadership positions. Well, I guess vocal positions. I don't know what the leadership aspect and how they manage that is. But the movement, as in the people on the streets, the people who decide to get up and go outside and march for certain shit, yeah, they don't organize around these things, you know? And that is a problem, you know, and I think, I don't know how to express it neatly, because I think it's very messy when you're dealing with humans, but people have a much easier time organizing around black men. And I pointed out, not because I feel like I'm so much better than everybody else, but because it appears to be true. A black dude gets shot, it's immediately like, we marching, we hashtagging, we, you know, if you bring up anything negative about them, it fuck you, this, you know, I don't care if he was a rapist, fuck you, you know, like, this is what we own right now. And it seems harder to, like, depending on the spectrum, you know, like, black women, a little bit harder to march, get the organized marches for and stuff like that. Black trans women, you know, black LGBTQ, anyone on that spectrum, a little bit harder than them, like, mm-hmm. Get a little harder. Like, it just seems like we like a easy sell, and I really think it's because of people that just, they have hangups within the community about this shit,
right?
You know, and like I said, that's why I didn't get mad when someone brought up the Sandra Bland thing, is because I was thinking like, well, maybe people are doing that and I just never really thought about it that way.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that it's one or the other. It really could just be that, like, yo, because people already are kind of doing it. When not as many people show up when it's a woman that gets killed, they are doing that. You see what I'm saying? When not as many people hashtag it when a trans person gets killed, they're doing that. So essentially, people do make these decisions every day, mm-hmm. But they don't actively come out and be like, I'm not marching for no trans woman, but
they just don't show up.
But they just don't show up, which is just as offensive, right? I mean, maybe they didn't slander your name or go through your timeline talking shit about you, but at the end of the day, they refuse to discuss your case.
Right. Actions matter.
Right. They refuse to go to anything around it. They refuse to discuss it. You know, when it comes up, all of a sudden it's that, well, that's their lifestyle. That's the choice. That was this. Right. That was all of a sudden, like the barriers go up. So maybe, like I said, I had to just think about it. I didn't want to be dismissive and just be like, get your ass out there. Cause it's like, if people doing it to you, why pretend that it's all good? If it's not all good, if it's not all good within the entire spectrum of blackness, I'm not going to be the person to tell you to get over some shit when it's happening to you and not me.
Correct.
I don't get to decide that for anybody else. And like I said, there's black people out here that's like, I wouldn't march for Stacey Dash if she got shot. Well, then that means for the most part, that means we're all doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's Bill Cosby, nigga, I don't know why I'm marching for that nigga. Like, I don't know that I'm hashtagging Bill Cosby's name. I would like to think that I'm above that and would be like, yo, all these lives shouldn't have been taken out of cops. I would like to think so, but on some real shit, I might be like, fuck him. I don't want to do it.
And my thing is, and maybe just the way I function, you can do two things at one time. You can say, it's fucked up how you died, but it's also fucked up what he did. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, people act like, I can't do two things at one time. I can't say he shouldn't have died like that and still fuck what he did.
I feel like you can do two things at one time.
Right.
But I think some people are choosing not to, and that's fine. That's their right. True. No one gets to decide that for them. I'm not angry at them. Like, I feel like that's being dismissive of them to just be like, well, just do it. Like, no, I don't want to. You know what I mean? Because people already do, they are doing it. And I think it's not fair to put all of that weight on the marginalized people within blackness. Like, get to marching. You know what I'm saying? Like, I expect this labor from you. I expect your enthusiasm. I expect your contribution. And then when something happens to you, you know, hey, it's too bad not enough people showed up today. But hey, we had a couple. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand why people would feel that way. Just being empathetic. I'm not saying right or wrong, because I really don't think it's a right or wrong to it, to be honest. It's just how shit is. People are human, and they're not going to, no one has infinite work and labor within them.
True.
So we withhold it for the people we really feel the most strongly about, and the people that we, I guess, even without trying, the people that have the most sort of respectable backgrounds, whether people mean to or not. You know, there's certain people that were like, okay, this guy definitely didn't deserve to get killed. And then even within blackness, there's certain people that are like, well, I mean, this person's a sex worker. I mean, what did you think? I mean, they probably was doing this, that, and the other. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and maybe just me, and maybe my mind needs to change, and maybe I need to expand my horizon. But I think, my personal opinion, if you feel like that, do all black lives really matter to you? That's all I question.
Maybe they don't. And I'm not saying, for the record, I'm not saying that's right. But I'm saying it appears to be the truth.
True.
It's an uncomfortable truth that, you know, it's easy to put up a banner and say a slogan. It's much harder to actually live that shit and right. Be like, okay, this guy's a horrible serial rapist, but I gotta put his name on a flyer and a t-shirt and walk out here and march and tell the police they did the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe we're already there, and all I'm saying is I'm just realizing we've been there for a while. Like, because it is the same. Like, it doesn't matter if people don't march. For, you know what I'm saying, for a lot of people, it don't matter, right?
Yeah, a lot of people don't care.
You know, if Maya Hall is killed and nobody's marching, or not enough people marching, or, you know, 10 people show up as opposed to 10,000, then you are saying a statement with your feet that this person's life didn't matter. So you're already there, right. And then you're going, well, so you're not gonna march for Sandra Bland? Like,
right. And people go, well, you didn't show up at these other events either.
Not everybody marching for everybody already,
right?
So, not to mention the shit that, you know, you can tell that this shit is already going on, because the shit that black women get as leadership of these movements, you know, and you know, and by black women I mean like black, some of these women are LGBT, you know, Q. Mm-hmm. And they still get shit. Like, it's not just, like it's a whole intersection of shit that they're catching.
Yeah.
And you can see like men who don't do anything will harass them online. They'll talk sideways to them. They'll tell them what they should be doing despite the fact that they didn't do any work themselves. Mm-mm. That they just expect this labor and they expect to be listened to, and they act like they're right. They can have 10 followers on Twitter and they're telling, you know, Netta and DeRay and you know, and Brittany and all the people, you know, in the actual BLM organization, they're like, do this and do that. Why y'all ain't say this? Why you ain't? And it's like, yo, you sat at home. You didn't do shit. So it is some privilege to being a black man, yes. Especially a straight black man, and being like, yeah, I expect y'all to march for me and my type and fuck everybody else.
Right. Because anybody outside of my realm, I don't care about. You know, you bring up anything about a woman, all of a sudden the game is on. All of a sudden, why y'all bitches complaining? All of a sudden, why I see her? You know, it's like you got to come at people when you don't have anything to say at any other time about anything else. But for some reason, if it's not about you or surrounded around you, or if you are not the complete topic of a refresh, baby.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. If you're not the topic of discussion, it becomes a problem.
Well, you know what's funny is like when it comes to these to the partnership, I guess is what we would call it, in the community, it's been flowing one way forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reciprocation has been fucked up forever, because if you know, like essentially what is being asked is for people to come together. And even the kind of person that like defends street harassing women, we're asking that guy to march. The kind of guy that thinks these queens need to raise these seeds better and black women are responsible for the destruction of the family because of feminism, we're asking them to march. You know what I'm saying? So like I can understand where it's just not gonna flow that all together, because it's not neat and everybody's not really you know, everybody's not really together like they think, or like the banner suggests that it is. And I think people point that out and then they get smacked down just for pointing it out. Now, I mean, ultimately the example from all this was just, I think, kind of fucked up, because that dude definitely called Sandra Bland a bitch.
Right, but
and then yeah, so like it was really kind of came off hypocritical.
Right.
Because you basically like kind of undercut your own point.
Yes,
because
you
when you're making a point about inclusion and marginalizing people and shit, to call a black woman a bitch even posthumously while you're making this point,
right,
it kind of let people have an out, so they could be like, well, I don't gotta listen to this person anymore. But right. I don't know, I listened and it just made me think. I don't think there's anything that can be done about it. It was just a problem that I am now aware of that I never had really put that much thought into. Jonathan says, I think the trans panic, gay panic thing has a lot to do with misogyny. Like all forms of misogyny, there is a pretty scary, violent undertone. A few years back, I visited Lowell, Massachusetts with an ex who was concerned about his transgender friends. The ladies ignored him and said he was just being dramatic. He went to a straight club to dance since there weren't any gay clubs. I was dancing and grinding with one of the ladies. When I went to the bathroom, 10 guys rushed in and blocked the door. They're screaming about, in their words, don't you know that's the dude in the dress and she's trying to turn you into a faggot? I was able to make my way out of the bathroom and we had to leave quickly since the guys like they were ready to fight. A few other trans women of color I know have concealed carry permits, but it shouldn't be up to them to keep themselves safe from other people of color and the police.
Right.
Yeah, that is scary, man. And like I said, that's why I don't think you're gonna, like, people will come down really harsh, like, tell me right away. I'm like, what you so afraid of? You gonna be gay now? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really what you're afraid of is you will, and like you said, that's even couched in a lot of misogyny, because it's basically, you will have womanized me by me having sex with a man. I'll be less of a man. So therefore, I mean, the reasoning of them, I'm not saying man, but
right.
Their reasoning is, I have had sex with a man. I'm now less of a man. And that is the ultimate offensive thing that can happen to me. Therefore, I can kill you. which is essentially, and courts are allowing that as a defense. Because they're sending people to jail for like six years instead of like when you kill somebody and go to jail for life.
Yep.
It's like, oh, well, you know, hey, this person was trans, so I mean, it's okay to kill them. Their life isn't worth what everyone else's life is worth. Right. Of course not. So, yeah, our society has made that judgment. Should CrossFit give up their Glock sponsorship? Yes, it's wrong, or no, it's fine. 81% of people think it is wrong and they should give back that Glock sponsorship. And 19% think, ah, it's all right. If they want to give away a gun, if you win the CrossFit, then you got a gun. What are you going to do? You know, you ain't got to shoot nobody with it. You can just have it, sell it, give it to somebody and let them do the crime. I don't know. Just don't lock it up. Keep it loaded. Let your kids play with it. You know, we had episode 1247, Taylor Shifty. Forrest says, so that Gavin Longcat was just paraphrasing David Banner, so he wasn't even original. I don't even remember who Gavin Long was.
Now, you know, I don't know who it is.
Gavin Long? Now I gotta Google this. Oh, wait. That's the dude that shot up the people, right? Yeah. That was, that's because he went by that other name. The fuck was his other name? I don't remember. Something Septenera or something. What a whack individual. Man, I don't even condone KW's antics, says, listening to you play the clips back of that guy, KW said over and over that he really wanted to make sure that we were cool and that friendship matter. Oh, Kanye West. And that friendships matter more. If Taylor had said no, it sounds like he would not have put it in the song. That sounds like she played them for the okie doke, or so she thought. Yeah. I don't know. It sounded to me like, to me, it sounded like the conversation was one where she approved of everything but the that bitch part in that conversation. Either they cut that out or he never said that bitch exactly. But even with all that, it seemed like she actually didn't have a problem with the message of you made me famous. You didn't know me. I'm going to tell people I heard the song already. I'm cool with it.
Having sex with you.
Right. And I in my heart of hearts, I think Taylor Swift bought into the fact that when the song came out and people start being like, she's the victim, let's protect Taylor Swift. I think the allure of that type of protection, it has always been afforded to white women and is too powerful to pass up sometimes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you guys are going to do the work for me. You know, she's eschewed it before. I mean, it's not like she's incapable of understanding that she has a certain amount of privilege. But when she was wrong about the Nicki Minaj thing, Piers Morgan was writing things defending her. All these feminists are writing things defending her. And she was like, no, I was wrong. Nicki was right. I apologize. You know, can we move on? You know? So she's done that before. It just feels like this was too good an opportunity to pass up for her career and for, you know, kind of like for the spirit of what she does, you know. I will add this though. Both things can be true. Because everybody's kind of do it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. She really could have been like, I was cool. Then he called me a bitch. He didn't tell me he was going to call me a bitch. And to me, that's a line too far. And if he would have said that, I would have told him no. You know, it could really be that simple. You know, all the statements, all the press releases and shit, put all that shit to the side. Like, just on a human being level, it's like if I said, hey, I don't know, friend or fan of the show, hey, Nick Jew, we're going to talk about you on the show this week. Is that okay? Cool, no problem. And then I get on the show and I'm like, so I told this bitch, she might be like, hold up, what now?
I might jump from back here.
Right.
See, attack on the hill.
Right. I told you we was going to talk about it. So, but you didn't tell me you were going to say nothing about me being a bitch though. So it could definitely be both. Like it doesn't, you know, like it is shady for her to turn it into, don't let anyone take credit for your fame, young ladies. Like, okay, you totally knew that part of the song was in there and you definitely played that up. Like, how could he do this to me when you clearly were aware that sentiment would be in there? But other than, but the that bitch part might have made her be like, man, fuck all that, I don't agree with none of it now.
That's true.
You know, anyway, that's my I can understand moment of the day. Wiz Khaleesi says, hi Rod and Karen, I pretty much died when you played Sunday Morning. It's pretty much my fave Maroon 5 song, and I get my white girl groove on every time I hear it. Makes me sad the band sold out and doesn't make this type of music anymore.
They don't. They albums after that were not as good.
Trash.
I know, right?
Ever since Levine started going on The Voice, shit, before that even, yeah, trash.
It changed. Like, I couldn't tell you last time I listened to an album, because they just have not been good. And they've released them, but I ain't cared.
Anyway, here are some other suggestions for the White People News segment. If you ever want to make it a regular disclaimer, I don't actually listen to all of this. I don't want no suggestions. I'm not reading any of these. I pick the white shit around him. I was planning on going premium by the end of the summer, but since you guys will be off next week, I have more reasons to. I want to download all the old Game of Thrones recaps on my long ass drive from Toronto to Nashville. Love you guys. Heart, signed, Agnes Wiz Khaleesi. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Need to chop up the new ones, put those on the feed too. Amani says, somebody on Twitter pointed out Miss Taylor Swift stole what should have been Kendrick's best album Grammy when she was lying about this whole Kanye situation. I still don't care about the Grammys the same way I don't care about Taylor or the Kardashians, but the levels of this shit are hilarious. The whole saga started when Kanye interrupted her to stand for Beyonce. If you take the alkaline out of your diet, you'll be able to see this whole thing was an Illuminati chess move by Loki for freedom to win best collaboration. Stay woke, brothers and sisters. Yeah, I will say that too. It's funny because Kanye liked the ultimate Beyonce stand, and he was right that day.
He was.
Everybody agreed with him. It just was a classless Kanye way to do it. But on a serious note, good luck with the move. It's been a weird and trying week for you to say the least, but hope this is just the start of new and better things. This shit can be draining, but as long as you're being motivated by that genuine love, that love and work will be by genuine love, I guess, and work will be returned to you in spades. I love y'all from the bottom of my heart. Oh, thanks, Amani.
Thank you.
And the poll was easy. Who's lying, Taylor Swift or Kanye and Kim? I don't want to say everybody or both, because y'all would have took the easy way out.
Right.
91% of y'all say Taylor Swift lying. 9% of y'all say Kanye and Kanye and Kim. Because
at first she said they didn't have that conversation.
Yeah, she did try to play it like there was. He just called me. The only conversation we had was he wanted me to release the album on my Twitter. Like, she was lying. Like, you cannot, like, she was lying, dog. She just didn't think they recorded it. She was lying. Like, it is what it is. And her lie was, like I said, I understand the pettiness of being like, man, well, fuck you then. you call me a bitch. It ain't that, like, people try to act like it's so complicated. Like, he calls his wife a bitch. I ain't married to this nigga. You can't just call me a bitch.
Right.
Are you serious?
It ain't the same.
Just like if a white dude was dating a black woman that let him call her nigga. He can't call me nigga. What? What ain't no transitive properties of respect on that shit? That was the worst kind of excuse.
Be shot dead in the street fucking with the wrong person. Get out of here.
Oh, you will get fucked up. Listen, boy, I hope y'all really don't think like that. That shit ain't cool at all, man. But I call my wife a bitch. I even got a song called Bitchity Bitch. No, nigga. You get the taste slapped out your mouth calling random people you don't even know like that a bitch, man. Are you serious?
Get killed.
Oh my God. Queen Latifah had a whole ass song about it. Okay. Ain't shit changed?
Mm-mm.
Who you calling a bitch?
Yeah, we might say it to each other.
Yeah.
It's one of the things you look
at. It ain't mine, but I don't get to say it because you say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get to just randomly be, like I said, man. Both can be true, but yeah, she definitely got caught in a lie too.
Yeah, and it's different ways of using the phrase bitch that can come off very negative. Like, there's positive ways of saying bitch. People may not believe that, but it's positive. You be like, bitch, did you hear that? You know, so it's certain ways that you can inflect your voice, which makes a difference in the way you use the word. Some people go, I don't use it at all, cool, but I do.
Well, also, you know, in black culture, vernacular, like, and in American culture, we've kind of hit a point where you can use it in certain ways, and it's all right, you know, like, or for the most part, it's generally accepted, you know, like, you can call a car bitch and everybody's okay with that for the most part. Yeah. But yeah, calling some woman a bitch on your song that you ain't clear that with, she might have a problem with it.
Yeah, she really might. Because bitch is almost like a way I use nigga. It could be a person, person, a thing. It could be a verb, adverb, adjective. It can go a little bit everywhere.
Right. So all right, I'm just saying, says Taylor Swift is a liar. I never liked that she devil anyway. I was just waiting for the rest of the world to catch up. I knew I didn't like her for petty reasons in the beginning, but the truth is that I could just sense her lying way. So here we go. Everybody got the sixth sense now. My psychic powers was telling me.
Everybody woke.
Dionne Warwick told me on my tarot card
that this shit was coming.
Taylor could have just said the truth. She was passive aggressive and wanted to be agreeable when Kanye called. After thinking about the lyrics, she realized that they did not show her in a good light. She changed her mind. She didn't have to act like she was blindsided. I mean, yeah, she could have called him back. She could have said, and also, I mean, if we're being real, a nigga just calls you out the blue and it's a dude that for the most part you don't really fuck with like that. Like, they might be Hollywood friends, but they not friends. You know, they just don't hate each other anymore at that moment. And, you know, this thing is like, yo, can I put you in my song and stuff? And maybe you do kind of feel pressured to be like, yeah, that's cool. You might not really believe it, you know? And I've been in that awkward situation before. It's an awkward social situation. I have to tell somebody no, especially when it's, you know, Kanye, who may or may not, you know, you might not really believe him when he's like, if you don't want me to do it, I'm not gonna do it. I just think we should be friends and shit. Like, you might be like, well, I don't want to tell him no, then he's gonna stop wanting to be cool and stop trying to be my friend. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like I said, I could understand the how she may have felt like, I'm not lying right now, I'm just hoping that this turns out good and going along with shit. But, you know, ultimately, if somebody records it, your ass is lying. But on some real shit, those lyrics are an example of why Kanye West is an asshole. He knows good music. He is incredibly honest to a fault, but he's an asshole nevertheless. He basically has admitted to this. Kanye West went on TV and said Bush didn't care about black people. He had an interview where everyone thought he was a maniac because he felt like a god. Kanye is always just going to be honest, even if it makes him look bad. So I always knew Kanye was telling the truth. Yeah, I never doubted Kanye, to be honest, because he's a lot of shit. He ain't no liar.
Yeah, sometimes he tell too much. You be like, I didn't even know that nigga.
Yeah, he's more of a TMI.
Right. You like calm that down. You know, there's something you can keep to yourself.
Right. You like, I don't need to know how you and your wife have sex. It's cool. We got episode 1248, Melania Chump. Forrest says the sheriff is a prime example of Dunning-Kruger effect. The sheriff that went on there and talked with Don Lemon. I forget his name, but that dude's terrible.
Crazy dude.
However, to Don Lemon's credit, despite his deference to the stance of white supremacy, he did dispute the sheriff later in the interview. Granted, my expectations for Don Lemon and CNN in general are extremely low, so he did more than I thought he'd do. Yeah. Okay.
But he still somewhat agreed.
Mm-hmm. I think he was just mad that he didn't get to say it first. Prof Corey says, if you give me a chance, I'd say black lives don't matter too. You're still in my thunder, lol. Yeah, that's what I think Don Lemon was really thinking. And she says, it's a racist country. It was literally built on racism. It still runs based on it. Saying the police and all the law enforcement is racist should not be controversial. It's infuriating. When American systems work as they were designed to work, they are thoroughly racist. And you couldn't be more right, Rod and Karen. Don Lemon has done no research. He acts like just knowing what people have said equals journalism. Journalism should also include what vetted research says. Yeah, they all, for the most part, they all do it. Only people I've really seen that I was like, oh, this person knows their shit, have been Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow. Those are the only people that I've seen recently that knew their shit and stood firm to be like, but this is a fact. I want to watch Mark Lamont Hill's show to see if he's like that too, because every time I see him on a panel, he's kind of like that. Like, he knows his stats and his sources and things of this nature. But it's incredibly difficult to be that kind of person, for the record.
Yes, sir.
And I think what has happened is, with the cult of personality in this new media age, people think I'm not selling you that I'm a sharp person that knows what I'm talking about. I'm not even selling you correct information. I'm selling you my personality as Don Lemon, the host, as
right.
And I think Fox News really started that. Like, and I think this is how Fox News wins, when the other news channels join into the fray by thinking it's about personality and sensationalism and big, you know, big moments. Let's bring on a racist white person to argue with a black person again. Let's do that. Everybody likes that. You know, where no one's learning anything, you know, like there's that white cop that comes on every time a black person is killed and he always takes the police side and he says racist stuff all the time. He's a recurring guest.
Yes, he is.
There's a reason for that. These conversations will never be fruitful because they're not about bearing fruit. They're about creating spectacle. So, and it's damn, it's definitely abusive for the black people that work in those environments. And I refuse to abuse myself by watching that shit unless we're gonna make jokes about it on the show. Like, I don't watch any of that shit live. I don't watch these racial town halls and shit. And I ain't saying people doing a bad job. I'm not saying the conversations don't need to be had. I'm not saying that, I'm just saying they're not for me. Like, I don't need to see my humanity explained again for the Trumpteenth time.
Right.
Like, I'm good. Like, I already know all the right answers. Y'all studied the test. Anonymous says, I love the new white people news segment. I'm right there with you, Karen, when it comes to who these white people are. I don't know who half of them are. You know, I love the white people news segment because it really puts into perspective how whiteness is just so good. Like, they have nothing to really be down about, because you can get lost in who got divorced to who while we're news for black people. I mean, and I'm not even talking about on the internet or on our show. I'm saying when I just talk to black people in public, we just end up talking about, like, cops still killing us.
Immediately you ask somebody how they doing, that's where the conversation goes.
Right. So, like, their news is like a breath of fresh air. No wonder y'all don't give a fuck about us. Like,
come on.
Y'all too worried if, like, George Clooney is gonna wear a white tuxedo at his 1 year anniversary dinner.
Right.
Or a black tuxedo at his 1 year anniversary dinner. I get it now.
Right. And did somebody come out with the wrong Lululemon pants on?
Right. Oh, she is showing all of her gams as she strolls to the beach. Like, that, like, that's a real headline when I go to Daily News all the time.
Right.
Daily Mail, I mean, it'll be, you know, Kim Kardashian does this and Anna Wintour says that, and there's some girl, I don't even know her name, but every day she's on my Daily Mail feed going to the beach. She's a model, and it's like, it's never, I like reading the Daily Mail because it's never been so apparent that celebrities call the paparazzi.
Right.
Like, it's one of those things where you kind of know about it, but it's, people try to put it in the background, but clearly they call and, like, hey, I'm about to head out to the beach, can y'all show up and take pictures of me? Because, like, some of the people abuse it and they're literally there every day. You're like, damn, this girl went to the beach again. Like, damn, she went back to the beach. She was there Saturday, Sunday, Monday too. Like, damn, she must just live at the beach. And then it's like, oh, she's posing for these photos, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, the white people news is just not, it don't hurt as much. So gotta cover some whiteness every once in a while, just as a palate cleanser. Like, this is the shit white people concerned about. Jennifer Aniston, y'all. Is she too sexy? I don't know.
Not sexy enough.
I don't know. Dana W.
Dana, she dyed her hair red and all hell breaks loose. You're like, what the fuck happening?
Right. Ozzy Osbourne is filing for joint custody. What?
Right.
Meanwhile, in black people news, the president just said that cop lives matter. Oh!
No, I'm outraged!
Not Obama! Not you, brother. Please don't. I know you got to, but don't!
I have to ignore my white people news and think about these niggas' news. That's why they get mad when we talk about Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They be like, no, I can't have rainbows and sunshine and lemon drops. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, hold on, I gotta play it. Let me search for it. But yeah, it's like the white people's news is just so sunny. Mm-hmm. and
bright and cheery.
Right, like when you see they knew, when you, like, if news had music, I would feel like white people's news, when they turn on the TV or whatever, for the most part is like, I'm trying to get the low. Oh, okay, here we go. It's like this for white people. Oh, Matt Damon said he might star in a movie if Ben Affleck directed it. Isn't that nice? Oh, some people got in the lake and got sick because there were algae in the lake and it was all green. That's too bad. Oh, Jenny McCarthy got into it with that girl from Sharknado. Well, you know Tara Reid is crazy. Oh well, what a full day. And then Mick Jagger's getting a divorce. So sad. But it's a conscious uncoupling, so hopefully it'll be okay. Hopefully everything will be fine, guys. And then over at the, on the black news, when we start covering our shit,
why? Why, Lord, why? Jesus!
I did have shot somebody else.
Take me, Lord. Take me instead.
Did you see the video on Facebook? Oh, Lord, why? No, not another one. Oh, Lord.
Not David Clark. Why is he on my TV, God?
No. Don't tell me. No, I can't take this no more.
Raven Simone said what?
Lord, Don Lemon's still in the ass. Lord, why?
What are they doing? What are they doing to Leslie Jones on Twitter?
KRS-One still defending that rapist. Why? Oh, Lord, why?
Shut up, Chris Brown.
That's our news.
Yes.
So it's a little different, you know? So we need the palate cleanser to go back to zero before we hop into the racism and shit. So I love the white people news segment.
Yes.
Because it lightens the show.
It's a big difference. White people listening, you just want it. Yeah, that's the difference in the news.
Yeah. Baby. Martha Stewart doesn't care about millennials. You're like, that was news?
The top click story of the day.
Right. Y'all cared about this? The Dana W says, I wondered if that woman was leaving her kid in the car specifically as a protection against it getting repoed. Jokes on everyone, especially that poor little baby girl, I guess. Yeah, the tow man came and got that car when the baby was in it and he ain't know. Mm-hmm. That's a new way to get around the repo man. Leave your kids in your car all times.
Be sure your baby always.
They ain't never gonna get that car.
Mm-mm.
Just set up a crib. Yes! Toys. Should a beauty queen lose her crown for having a criminal record? Because that's kind of what happened. yes or no? 83% say no, and 17% say yes. Mark says, should she lose her crown? No. Now, where do you think the rest of this is gonna go?
But because I have in politically correctness, and I feel like you shamed yourself as a woman by doing anything that I deem not worthy, that crown needs to be taken away from you.
I honestly, and Mark, I appreciate you writing in. I'm gonna read it, but I'm just in general. Honestly, man, that is such an annoying habit that so many people have.
Mm-hmm. And that's
ask a question, they answer the question, but then they go on where it's like they subtract from the answer they gave, where it's like, I asked, should she lose her crown? Should she? No. That should be the end of the sentence.
Right.
But there's a whole lot of shit after this where I'm like, I'm not saying he's wrong or anything.
Right.
But this happens all the time where, you know, where I'm like, man, cops shouldn't just be shooting innocent black people. Should they shoot them? Of course not. But
Right. Now,
I'm like, oh, whatever right, you say after this is going to fucking ruin what you just said.
Right, right. And not that you're going to do that, but that knowing it was happening, particularly dealing with social media, so yeah. You just roll your eyes with that butt.
One of these days, I'm going to get on here and talk about being an introvert and social media and doing this podcast and being visible, but not today.
Okay.
But these competitions are set up by private organizations who can make whatever rules they like. That said, the Miss America people are dealing with the fact that the number one person anyone can think of associated with that title is the one they let go for cause. Dealing with the fact that these contests are severely out of touch with the general public, these places might do themselves a service by admitting someone who is using a scholarship, assuming they still give those out, as an opportunity to further herself. If nothing else, think of the extra publicity that organization will receive for being a support to the community. Yeah, I understand it's in the rules and they can do whatever they want, but yeah, I'm more with the latter part of your stuff, which is, why not just spin it and update it, make it current? But I guess,
yeah, some of the rules probably haven't been changed since these pageants started, probably in the 20s and fucking 30s.
Right. And I guess in general, like, a pageant is a reductive kind of throwback to a lot of traditional shit anyway, so they're probably not even thinking about doing any of that shit.
Because, you know, you're talking about back then where, quote unquote, there were no gays, right. You know, all these people didn't exist. So, you know, we talk about wholesome, we talk about family, women were virgins, we can't have you out here being all loosey-goosey with your vagina.
Right. 1249, Rich Homie Quan Karaoke. This is a fun episode. And we got a couple comments. B-Touch, who we were just on his podcast, Say Something Nice, talking about guilty pleasure movies and Ghostbusters. I think you guys will enjoy that conversation. Yes to Karen singing the old ABC after these messages. We'll be right back. Bumper jingle.
That's my jam.
As far as the Omar Mateen story, I've read a few stories from people who say he used to frequent Pulse and or that they saw him with on gay hookup apps like Grindr or Jacked. Even taking all of that into account, however, I don't want people to suddenly treat the Pulse shooting as if it wasn't both a hate crime and an act of terror.
Right.
There's a plenty of historical examples, of course, of people terrorizing the same group of people who they also secretly go to bed with. Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings immediately comes to mind. Mateen's attack on the club was definitely a specific act targeting a specific subset of people, gay brown men. And it inspired people to consider or threaten similar crimes immediately afterward that made people afraid to go to LGBT clubs or pride events. Plus, given that the info that Mateen's wife helped him case out Pulse and was informed of his plans, I agree that there's still more to the story than just revenge for possibly contracting HIV. And honestly, none of this shit neatly is gonna fit into any of these boxes. So it is what it is, you know what I mean? Everyone's gonna try to like get a W for their talking points, and then they want to stop, you know, like it was terrorism, it was Islamic terrorism, and then they just stop. And like, but it seemed to be a whole lot of other shit going on. Well, it was just this. And you're like, but it seemed to be a whole lot of shit going on with that too. Like, it don't seem to just be one thing, you know? And also, there's no accounting for crazy. You're never gonna understand that mentality of doing something that horrific to people. At least I hope you don't understand, cause I definitely don't. Anonymous says, Taylor Swift's friend learned from the best. Oh yeah, that's right. Taylor Swift's friend was on Twitter talking shit about Northwest and quote unquote praying for her.
People's not here for it.
Mm-mm. Do some shady passive aggressive shit, and when your car get pulled, pretend to be the victim. Fuck her. I really get pissed off by how comfortable people are using kids, specifically girls or black celebrities, as the butt of jokes are a tool against the parents. It just doesn't seem to happen when the parents are white. That is true. Yeah, that is true. I'm trying to think of a situation where somebody was like, I hope Apple Paltrow is doing better than this.
You know, she knew not to go after no white children, man.
Right.
You went against that baby because that baby brown.
True. That is true.
And that's what's upsetting. It's like, oh, you attacking the children because honestly, this children is less than, quote unquote, like our mama.
Like, what about Sailor Cruz or whatever, you know, white people rich names.
What about Carrot Top Cabbage? Mm-mm, we ain't talking about that baby either, because you know they named the baby after foods and shit.
All right. I don't think Carrot Top is his government name, but I'll allow it.
Thank you. We allow Apple. Guarantee you somebody to name their baby that shit.
All right. Carrot Top Cabbage? All right. What's wrong with you?
Just ridiculous ass names. But yet, those aren't ghetto. Those aren't considered abnormal. Come on, get out of here.
Of course not.
Get the fuck out of here.
Look, someone has to take care of Astrid Hanks, okay? And it just is what it is. Anyway, it just doesn't seem to happen. Parents are white. It happened with Sasha and Malia. Blue and now North is gross, and I'm so glad Twitter got her ass, and I wish all the terrible things on her for those fake ass prayers. That bitch hangs tight with Taylor, and I ain't never seen Miss Swift headed in the church. And then the poll was, what is worse in the office microwave, burned popcorn or fish? Dub says microwave fish in the office is almost a reason to unleash them hands on food.
Come on now.
If you're microwaving fish, then clearly you are a habitual line stepper. B Touch says, of those two options, burn popcorn because it floats and lingers. However, nothing is worse than stale broccoli from the microwavable bags in the office. That is a scent from the pits of hell.
Yeah, that stinks too. That's another one. Yes.
Yeah, I
like. Did you read the poll?
Yeah, that was the poll.
No, did you actually read the?
Yeah, which ones were? Oh, you mean the results?
Right.
Did I not say them? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my bad, y'all. What was worse? 55% of y'all picked fish. 45% picked popcorn, burnt popcorn. Very close poll.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there were no voicemails, so we get straight to the emails today. We got one from Brandon who says, you guys give me life. 4 exclamation points. I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. Forget the spelling errors. I went out and got some larceny that Rod, some of that larceny that Rod has been helping, hyping up, and it's pretty damn smooth.
It's delicious.
Let me introduce myself a bit. I'm 31 year old brother from Huber Heights, Ohio. I know when you hear Ohio, you think of that shooting at the Walmart. Yeah, that store is 10 minutes from where I live, so we are still dealing with that bullshit. Yeah, is that John Crawford that got killed in the store? So many of us dead. I've been listening to you guys for almost 4 years now, and y'all get me through my long nights at work. Tell Karen I will donate here soon. Almost done with these student loans. I'm a machinist by trade, so I work long hours, and in the middle of the nights, the only thing that keeps me sane is putting my headphones and turning you guys on. Aww. I work with the most white dudes, and most are pretty good guys, but with all the shit that is going on, I find myself defending myself on the stuff the media shows. Most of them don't understand what is going on and just spit a bunch of nonsense because they watch Fox News.
Right.
One guy told me Jesse Williams was a rapper and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He might sound like me.
Actually, Fox News said that.
Holy shit, you serious?
Yeah, it was either Fox News or that dumb lady that works for Glenn Beck.
He is not a rapper.
I was like, you're a rapper. You don't even know. It's like, you don't even do research.
Yep.
I don't know if it's still up. But
so every black man that speaks up is a rapper?
Right, at the Source Awards. That's what she probably thought it was. If you get a chance, read Soledad O'Brien's, or maybe if you Google Soledad O'Brien, she had a really good thing about like journalism and race on Twitter the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was basically saying that, you know, people don't do research. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And Goldie Taylor did the same kind of thing. It was like right in the same 24-hour period, but it was like, you know, no one does research. They just bring these people on. They don't hire you back if you talk, if you're too quote unquote woke, basically. Mm-hmm. You're too,
right,
a little too pro-black, a little too educated, a little too defensive. You won't get that call back. So it's a workplace just like every other place is a workplace. Motherfucker, really? And then I get hit with the All Lives Matter shit, and it takes everything in me not to slap the shit out of one of them. Like me saying save the rainforest doesn't mean fuck the rest of the forest. I took you guys advice not to educate people on what's going on. I can't do it anymore because they just don't want to see.
Right.
Yeah, it's not even education, dog. I mean, it's trolling. It's right. Concerned trolling. And honestly, if that's something you choose to take on as a mantle, for free,
right, you're not getting paid for it, because I'm trying to tell you, these a lot of people out here doing it for free, you need to charge.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it for free,
but good luck with that. But only thing I would say is just think of your own mental health, you know, do what you want, because some people do come to you with a spirit of like wanting to know and better and do better, and
you
shit.
and you can tell but
a lot of people
the sincerity is there,
but yeah, but a lot of people don't. Mm-mm. And you can't just fall into that trap of trying to educate everybody, because some people just want to dismiss you. I made a point on Twitter about Jon Stewart yesterday, and I've made this point before on Twitter, but people they just saw Jon Stewart's name and were just all day trying to dismiss my point, which was kind of making my point for me. But the thing is, I didn't sit up there and try to educate each one of those people, because they didn't really want to be educated. They were coming to try to shut down what I was saying, because they felt like if they did that, they wouldn't have to think about what I was saying, and then they could go back to doing whatever they were doing. Because a lot of these people don't follow me. A lot of these people don't interact with me. But right. That day, they did not want to think, why do I share Jon Stewart's videos and not Trevor Noah's and not Larry Wilmore's and not Samantha Bee's? Why am I so comfortable, you know, why is the front page of every media source still putting Colbert, who's not doing good in the ratings, and not doing the character anymore? Why are they still putting that out there? Why are they putting John Oliver out there? Why are they putting, you know, why are they not putting Wilmore and Noah, who've been doing a great job, especially specifically around all the racial stuff going on in society? I mean, it's not like Larry Wilmore and Trevor Noah write the whole show by themselves. I mean, same, you know, there's teams of writers coming up with this material, but somehow we don't get the Trevor Noah eviscerates so and so and Larry Wilmore does this. And I was just breaking down all the factors to it, right? There's one, they're new, they took the place of white people, so immediately there's the, well, these motherfuckers ain't good. Well, it takes a while to get your feet anyway, but I do watch the shows and they are good. And good is subjective anyway. And when you're talking about the righteous rants that they used to share from Jon Stewart, the last 2 years or 3 years of The Daily Show, they weren't about being funny anymore. Mm-mm. It was really about being right. That really takes no effort to share. Nope. 'Cause you're not talking about how much it made you laugh. You're talking about how much you agree with it. So let's take the humor part out of it. Okay, that's not even up for discussion. The other part was when you're crafting your personality, black people don't get to be angry.
Nope.
Who's the angriest black person on the news routinely? I'll wait. You get to be knowledgeable. You get to be righteous. You get to be affable. You get to be a lot of shit. But you talk about that racism, you better have a fucking smile on your face.
You better.
Or you better say it with, you better just be talking the facts. But you can't be out there being angry and mean because white people shut the fuck down when a black person tells them, like, no, I don't have a joke here. Stop killing us. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear that. You know, when Jon Stewart says stop killing white black people, he gets to be angry. He gets to be sad. He gets to be frustrated. And it's seen as, well, look at John, he's such a good guy. He's like the voice of all white liberals, even though he's not really, but he's like the voice of all white liberals. We feel sad too, and there's a catharsis that happens, so they share it to be like, look how I feel. But when they see a black person do the same type of, hey, stop killing us commentary, it's, yeah, I don't want to share that. That's, you know, that's uncomfortable. It's not, let's not put this on the front page of Raw Story. Because who makes that decision, right? Who gets on the front page of Raw Story? Probably a white person, right? You know, not to mention New York Times, not to mention, like, a lot of these places where things are going viral. I'm not even necessarily talking about you on social media. You're not really picking and choosing what's going viral with these things, because the companies are picking. So you're sharing it because it was on the Daily Mail. You're sharing it because it was on Bossip. You're sharing it because when you came to Facebook, it was trending. That's why you're sharing it. But how did it get there? Someone makes a decision somewhere and they're not comfortable with Trevor Noah and Larry Wilmore saying similar things about race. They're just not. You know, I've seen Raw Story try to do hit pieces on Trevor Noah. The dude's had the job like 6 months or some shit. I don't even know how long it's been, but like they already are trying to be like, well, they need to get rid of this nigga. You know, like there's a possibility John Stewart just gonna come back.
Oh, he ain't coming back.
Yeah. Also, it was shady. John Stewart came to the Colbert Show and didn't go back to Daily Show, but whatever. The point being, a lot of this stuff, like when I explained all that shit on my timeline, I had people hitting me up at like 11 o'clock at night, like, yeah, but what about this? I just don't find them funny. And things I had already explained a long time ago. And I was like, well, you either can scroll back or you can shut the fuck up. Like, I'm not trying to, like, at this point, I gave a whole statement for you to go peruse. Don't just respond to one tweet later and try to take it out of context. Like, say the same thing 100 other people said to me. But that's the expectations with the trolling, and it adds up. And that's the expectations upon us as Black people, is that we live to service the people that don't understand. And that's ridiculous. And as a woman, you don't need to make your life about explaining to men all day. As a LGBT person, you don't need to make your life about explaining shit to straight people all day if you don't want to. Like, right. Nobody should have to do any of the shit they don't want to, because we have the magical fucking internet and Google where you can actually go find the answers if you really want to. The most hilarious thing to me were people that were denying the shit about I said about Jon Stewart, and then I just linked them to the video where Jon Stewart said, ain't that some motherfucking irony? Ain't that some irony? I just linked them to the video where Jon Stewart himself was like, yes, I get a fucking pass for being white, and people don't want to hear this shit from Black people. He has his own video from The Daily Show where they talked about it, but I made it up, right? Fuck you. Anyway, he says he isn't educating people, and I don't blame you. He said, I had a supervisor go around telling white employees about the Black Lives Matter Day of Rage the other night. But he didn't say that shit to me, though. If you look it up, it was put on by the punk ass group Anonymous, so it had nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. So I had a nice talk with some HR people and let's see what happens, because this could be a huge issue. Anyways, I love both of you guys. Oh wait, I love the bitch you guys did about Wendy Williams making an ass of herself and Roland Martin giving that hot fire. Like, you know you fucked up, right? You know you done fucked up, right? I started crying laughing when I was shopping at Kroger's over this. You guys are my everything. Keep doing what you're doing. You are the voice for some that don't have the platform to speak out. My mom's side of the family is from Conway, South Carolina. So we might be family. That's what's up, Brandon.
Ooh, yeah, who knows?
You know, plus, I mean, the way these white folks was fucking us in slavery, yeah, shit, we probably all family on some level.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, we probably all Jeffersons.
Yep.
Episode 1247. Derek says, hey Rod and Karen, this is something that I've been meaning to write for several months and I've been putting off, but your discussion on the incident in Baton Rouge compelled me to stop and follow through. You have stated multiple times that your podcast doesn't pander to white folks, of which I am one. That is why I was drawn to you two. My wife discovered TBGWT and drew me in with the Thrones recaps, but as I increasingly became a fan, the more I listened, the more I realized you two were a breath of fresh air from my stale podcast lineup. Case in point, your discussion on the Baton Rouge incident. Both of you speak on things so raw and so from the heart that I had to stop and blink rapidly in public. A lot of other venues have spoken on the same subject, but it's so sterilized. You two discuss things so truthfully that I honestly started to think, wait, what would Rod and Karen think of this news? And I approach things more as family rather than demographic / race / sex, whatever. This has opened my pasty eyes.
That's funny.
Oh my God.
Cause I didn't see that one coming.
This is over my pasty. Well, you know what? That's how you know he listens to the show, because it threw something funny in there in the middle of the serious ass commentary. This is over my pasty eyes to a whole new world. I'm now subscribed to most of the podcasts you promote and love them as well. Thank you for being you and don't change. P.S. I ordered Bevel because I had pretty coarse curly hair on my face. To those who have not, get on this, white, black, whatever. Seriously. That's a good time to remind y'all that you can get 20% off. If you go to getbevel.com and use code TBGWT, you can get 20% off of your first month. You know, it's the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game. Coarse, curly hair, sensitive skin, person of all ethnicity, races, creeds, and colors. Come on and get some of this. You don't need to be out here with a face looking all like a
road map.
Yeah. You know, like a road map, like a topographical map.
Yes.
You don't need that.
With hills and valleys and mountains. So nobody wants to see that.
Right. You know, looking like a globe. Like, get yourself taken care of, man, so you can be smooth. Join us. One of us. 4 out of 5 men reported reduced razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation. Okay? So it's not just, it's not just me making this shit up. A lot of people have increased their shaving, routine and game. So code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. He also says, PSS, I was missing the, ba-boom boom from the end of the Guess the Race theme song as well. Thanks for whoever wrote in about this and helped reinstate it. I love you, Karen.
I love you too, sweetie.
Yeah, I don't even know why Karen stopped doing it. I missed it as well, but I ain't in the habit of telling Karen what to do. Despite what the fuck people write in and say sometimes.
You sure? I'm your property, ain't I?
I know. I was like, well, I guess we're not doing that no more.
Truthfully, I just forgot.
Oh, okay. You're already doing them. This is from Bill F, who says, Dear Rod and Karen, I have never imagined anyone asking for trigger warnings on your show because the gallows humor has been a staple of my coping strategy for as long as I can remember. But you brought it up on a recent episode saying that people asked for them and that you had considered it but decided against including them. I listen to shows that have warnings, shows that don't. I really don't have a preference and respect creators' decisions either way. Since that episode, though, I've been listening to the Blackout Tips with more of an ear for format, and I realized that you've been doing trigger warnings all along. If you talk about some horrible things happening to LGBTQ people, Sylvester will let us know what's coming. Right? That's the other thing. This is mostly a bad news show.
Yes!
Most of the news that we talk about is like, these motherfuckers doing it again, y'all.
We got the dance where we make you cry.
Right. I hope you're ready for some songs, because here's horrible crimes. Black people being fucked with, you literally sang a duet before discussing it. Hating ass Terrell Jones in the comment sections, Yo Gotti was an audible warning label. If anybody has a problem with the show because they really wish you could signal topics ahead of time, they might just have trained their ears to only acknowledge the magic words and not the magic of the song. You do great work, and your show helps me gets me through the day. You're oftentimes both the funniest and most introspective point of view out there. I appreciate you both. Keep it up.
Thank you, baby.
Man, white people is writing in a lot today. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
Thank you.
We done crossed over.
I know, right? We thank y'all for staying.
Coming here tomorrow, like fucking that Five Heartbeats cover and shit. That's a white people doing the show. Welcome to Guess the Race. Episode 1248, Melania Trump. Harold writes in, a black man.
Oh, nah, Lord.
Thanks, Harold. Rod and Karen, I really enjoyed your episode from Tuesday to episode 1248, Melania Trump. I was especially disappointed to see how the trolling and racist abuse of Leslie Jones prompted her to leave Twitter platform altogether. I completely agree with her decision to not subject herself to the abuse any longer. I also agree with both of you that the platforms do not aggressively protect people of color who suffer public abuse. Right. 9 to 12 fucking publications got to write about it, then it's like, we should probably direct message Leslie Jones.
Mm-hmm. People seem kind of upset.
Mm-hmm.
All right, at Twitter is on fire. What's happening? I know somebody was like, ding, 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 ding. I was mm-hmm. like, what the fuck happened?
What's even more frustrating is racist and misogynistic behavior by the trolls is not even seen as problematic until a large group brings attention to it.
Right.
While Twitter banned Milo Yiannopoulos, that guy that was one of the biggest trolls of Leslie Jones, I saw a link to a website this morning and posted a list of the guy's other social media accounts so fans can keep up with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they protect their own, you know. It's like, well, come to Reddit. I saw people talking about, we gonna quit Twitter. I was like, good.
Cause you're part of the problem.
Right. And you know what's sad? Twitter probably was like, no. That's what we didn't want, was y'all to quit Twitter. Cause we sell these numbers. You know, social media is a hypothetical landscape when it comes to monetizing it. It's not really money yet. It's funny money. It's venture capitalism,
right?
It's
investment
capitalism.
One
it's
day
not,
we will.
Yeah, it's not true monetized capitalism yet. Like, the idea I would have to fix Twitter would probably destroy Twitter. As far as fixing it for people so that they don't have as much harassment, make everybody pay.
Yep.
Most I mean, Twitter's a pivotal part of a lot of people's lives at this point, right, where people would probably pay something. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just now you got to pay now you have to pay in order to harass people. And when you pay, guess what information I now have? Your actual fucking credit card, your name, your address, like a way to get in contact with you. So when you start saying some bullshit, it's okay, that's actually Larry Smith of 235 so-and-so lane.
Right.
So and like I said, it would destroy it because people are entitled, they want their shit free. But that's probably the only way to really do it, because you're gonna have harassment as long as people can just get away with creating 27 accounts. There's other ways to do it too, but that was the one that's probably easiest, and they monetize it and they get their money, you know. But yeah, most people will end up quitting the site, in my opinion. The site even started a hashtag free Milo hashtag, despite the fact that this guy is a flat out racist. He's being portrayed as the victim. Well, you know, PC cover culture run amok, guys. The PC mafia, you know, they've been fighting it out with the
right,
you know, with the Crenshaw Crips. I don't know who I don't know who the PC mafia's enemies are
either.
Maybe the GC mafia, you know, they're in the grammatically correct shit. There is the wrong there in that sentence. As unfortunate as the last few weeks have been, you guys have done a great job of helping us process events and bringing social awareness to a wider range of people. Much love, Harold. Thanks, Harold. And lastly, great run. Dear Rod and Karen, just wanted to say that this past couple of weeks has been a really great run of shows. The episode with Janelle James was hilarious. The rock selling dude who needs some space from his wife on flights, and the Backstreet Boys dick flashing stories almost had me crashing my car. I was laughing so hard. And the craziest thing about that episode that nobody mentioned is it all began with Janelle talking about The Rock. Great foreshadowing. The episode with Alex and Ray Sani and the discussion about white celebrities speaking out on black issues and the concerns that they raise for black people was really great. I participate in a group of social media activism for white people on race issues, and the topic comes up frequently. I think you really nailed it as far as white activists need to just understand that there will always be some distrust and animosity towards us from some black people. And those the feelings of distrust and animosity are totally valid. It's just part of the deal. It can't be met with the white person getting all upset and making everything about them or taking their ball and going home. Yeah, man. That's why I don't even really believe in the ally shit, dog, because the ally... that term intimates that we have shared interests, that we're working towards for the benefit of each other, but that shit ain't always true, you know. In a lot of cases, I'd much rather you just be a good person,
right,
and approach it with a spirit of trying to understand, and I'll try to do the same, because I've seen it work both ways. I've seen allies that the second they get questioned, they take their balls and go home. And I've also seen people that, you know, like white people, different, like people that are trying to come into groups and be understanding, and they're doing a good job. But then because there's so much distrust there, they become like, they can be abused as well.
Yes.
Like I've seen that too, where I'm like, yo, people are undeservedly, like, for example, what happens with Macklemore? I personally am convinced that dude has a genuine heart and is trying to do the most right, positive things he can do.
Me too.
Some black people are on his ass forever, and it's almost because he does listen and does give attention that people want to exhaust him and use him up so that they can go, see, I was right.
Right, because they drive you to the point. They purposely drive people to the point. I don't know if this is their purpose, right, but what happens in their actions is that they purposely drive people to the point where they go, fuck it, why am I here?
Yeah, I mean, oh, wait, is it still going? Or I think we went over. Okay, people are seeing it.
Yeah, we've seen it, but all you need to move us over, though.
I do need to move us over. Yeah. Okay, let me start this session.
I don't know how far it goes past the 2 hours.
Okay, people might not be able to see this. Right. Okay, all right.
Yeah, they still see us, but I don't know when it just cuts off.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. 12:32 p.m. All right, create session. Give me a second then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they still can see us.
All right. Did that not create it?
It might be slow moving.
Oh, wait. I got to click on session two.
Yep. Now.
Okay. All right. Give it a second
to
start. Better go live. Call audience to session. Okay. And I'll add you back to screen.
Okay.
Just went live. And I'm gonna add you to the screen. There we go. Just added you to the screen. Or just invited you, I mean. Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So what was I saying? Yeah, but sometimes people are abusive, and it's because they've been abused. They've had distrust. Some other white person or some other people have, you know, got built up the animosity where, and I don't even think that people realize it yet, that there's no white person that can do right by them.
Right.
They've kind of given up on white people in general, individually and in totality, and it's very much a, you know, the animosity is just too much at that point. There's not a neat solution to any of that shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the role of trying to be an ally is about having to be abused either,
right?
Ideally, you know, and hopefully other people in the spaces would check those folks, you know, like, hey dude, like, this dude's not the problem, you know.
Right, we have a bigger issue and it's not this person.
Right, you would hope, but you know, but at the same time, people want and think what they're gonna think. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's
why I don't always hop into shit, and don't, you know, sometimes when I'm disagreeing with somebody or someone is coming at me in a very like aggressive way, I'll realize it's not even really me, it's they've had this conversation with someone else before that said all the wrong things, and now they have zero allowance for anything but you right, I'm sorry, I apologize, please forgive. They don't have any, there's nothing left to give there. So, you know, I think it's difficult to really discuss like what role white people are supposed to play, because you got a lot of black people that are like, either white people are so great for even caring, and then that's it. And then you have black people that are like, white people can't never do enough, fuck them. And then you have people that do want to work together and shit, you know. But yeah, I personally am not in that circle of let's all do some work, so I don't even know where I would fall on that shit. Cause, and I'm not over there, and if I was over there, I wouldn't be in charge. So it's not, you know, it's not for me to say, you know. I think each cause differs and each group differs, and some groups are like, white people, we want you to do this, this, and this, and don't say shit, and you'll be fine. And I say, you go listen to motherfuckers when you're over there and do the right, you know, do what they tell you to do. That's the leadership in those spaces. And if you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, you gotta leave or whatever, but it's just not about you in that moment. You know, so it just, and everyone has this, by the way, whether if you're a straight person, you have this. If you're American, you have this. If you're a man, you have this. If you, whatever, like if you're not physically challenged or anything, you have, like, we all have our privileges in certain situations, and we all have our egos too, and nobody, you know, when those two things meet, it's like a fucking war.
Yep.
Anyway, I totally agree with you that black people should not be under any obligation to explain race issues to their clueless white friends online unless they want to. That should be the job of us white people to collect our own. Last year, Elon called on white Twitter listeners to start stepping up when they see white people getting froggy in comment sections on Facebook pages, Twitter timelines, etc. of their black friends. Obviously, it depends on the level of trust and relationship that the white ally has their black friend, and it should only happen if they want it. But this seems like a great concept for helping to give black people a break from that headache and to allow us to do work that white people should be doing. Yeah,
and to piggyback on one, some of the things you said, and it's sad though, because it's like, for a lot of black people, they've been so, like I said, that abuse, they've been so abused that they just turn around and take and put that abuse on somebody that's actually trying to help. I mean, to
well, you're the white person that's around, and it's impossible for you not to be some level of problematic, because we're all fucked up, and then some people have zero allowance for that, right? I know it's happened to me with black women before, where they like whatever other niggas have been saying or whatever, like I can see that the conversation is not even about me. Some other niggas have been saying crazy shit, and then they think that I'm going to side with those niggas, or that I kind of agree with those niggas, or that I'm going to make the points they were saying. And so then it's like, excuse you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember one time someone got into it with me on Twitter because I said, when I was coming from my car, we have a neighbor who's a, you know, who was a lady at the time. And, when, you know, we don't, like, she was our neighbor. She literally lived next door to us, but she didn't speak. She would stay in her car longer when I was getting in and out of my car. And when she would walk past me in the hallway or something, she wouldn't speak. And I wouldn't speak to her either. And I was saying I didn't speak to her because I kind of learned via Twitter and stuff that you could be making someone uncomfortable if they, like, down south, we do a lot of speaking, like, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, this isn't online, but there's a lot of nonverbal cues, there's eye contact, there's smiles, there's head nods, things that kind of insinuate, like, okay, we are acknowledging that we see each other and that we're neighbors and whatever. But not everybody's into that, you know, and as a black man, and this was a white woman at the time, as a black man, you know, I do have, I am an introvert. I am in my head. I am like, I hope it's not because I'm black. I hope it's not because she's scared of me. I mean, we literally live next door to each other, you know, and all these things. But in my mind, that's what's going on. But outside, she don't know what's on my mind. And so I'm just like, if you don't speak, I won't speak. If you're not making eye contact, I won't make eye contact. If you're staying in your car longer, then let me hurry up and get inside so you can get in your car or whatever. Like, I don't know if it's a race thing. I don't know if it's just a, you know, big scary black man thing. I don't know, you know, like, I don't know what it is. The point being, that's your right. And and I just want to be as out of your way as possible. I'm not here to make you uncomfortable. What's funny is me voicing that it's, yes, it is uncomfortable as a person to not acknowledge someone and to walk past them knowing they're your neighbor and not make eye contact and all this shit. It is an awkward thing, but it's the right thing to do. And this person was like, well, see, this is the problem, you trying to make it all about you. I was like, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. I'm saying it's not about me. I'm saying I do want to move out of the way. I do want to, I, you know, if I'm uncomfortable, let me be uncomfortable. It's worth it for this person to be comfortable, in my opinion. But I think she had seen so many men be like, fuck that shit, I'm speaking, and she better speak back, or, you know, like, she has seen, or she was so worried I was going to go there.
Right.
I think she immediately had a reflexive action to be like, no, you don't get to say this. And I was like, it's my Twitter account, and it's my brain. If I want to fucking talk about my perspective while also saying I'm completely fine with this being the way things are, you just gonna have to not follow me or block me or whatever. It'll be fine.
Yes, you will.
You know? But it was an interesting moment because, honestly, that was a discussion with the ghost of niggas past, in my opinion. It wasn't me.
Yes.
You know? Like, it's just an interesting moment. And I think we have those all the time. You know, with any level of quote-unquote coalition, it's impossible not to have those issues because people have been hurt. You know, I was thinking about this, and we're on a whole other tangent now, but I was thinking about this the other day. I really think a lot of that type of aggressiveness is almost like a hornet coming after somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think we all kind of have it in us at any rate.
On certain things. Yeah,
depending on what we... I think a lot of that is... And a lot of hatred and a lot of anger and aggressiveness and the negative aggressiveness and the negative type of emotions. I think it's really fear that we have that other people would ultimately see us for who we are and reject what they find. You know, not to get too deep philosophically, but that's kind of what I think a lot of this shit comes from. Like, on a macro and micro level, a lot of times when we have these adverse reactions, and this isn't about right and wrong, because you can be right and this still is the truth.
True.
So even when I'm right, I think the reason I push people out of my circle a lot of times is because I don't want your judgment and rejection and negativity towards me in my space. So I'm getting to you first, basically. I'm getting you out of here before I have to deal with your shit. It's totally my right. It's totally, if it's to protect my mental health, that's fine. But it's also why some people just don't give a lot of chances to people. It's why people don't want shit to explain. It's why people come at conversations that I would think was a conversation, but they're coming at it like a debate. I think it's why we do that as human beings. We don't want to be rejected, basically. I came out to you and said, well, like, to me in that conversation, for example, the one about the car, me walking to my car, what ultimately happened was, in my opinion, that person was thinking to herself, well, yeah, you're uncomfortable, and now you're gonna say your discomfort trumps my discomfort so you can do what you want to do. And I'm like,
that's not what you were saying.
Right
But a lot of dudes say that with that in mind. Right
And because ultimately what they do is they see who you are and they see what you're asking, which is, what you're really asking is, hey, person in a position of privilege, can you like be mindful of what I want and put your privilege to the side and just fucking, you know, like, treat me as an equal, even though you quote unquote don't have to.
Right.
And ultimately you get rejected when a lot of guys go, no, I have the power to not do this, and I have the power to make you fear me and be uncomfortable, and I'm gonna fucking use it every day I get a chance
to. Right, and I will street harass you, and I will holler at you.
I'm gonna open the door for you whether you want me to or not. Because that's how I was raised, and that's what I do, and that's just, like, that ultimately, that is the fear, I think, that people would have in that situation, where it's like, so you're seeing my plea, my request, my demand, and you're going, nah, fuck you. So they hop on you first because they think that's where it's headed. And a lot of times it does head there.
Yeah, nine times out of ten, that's exactly where the conversation is going. But a lot of times with you is somewhat different, and a lot of times people don't know how to respond to you. Or either they dismiss you because they're going, well, oh, you sound just like everybody else when you're trying to explain. And I think, and this is another reason why, for me personally, you're a lot more interactive than me on certain things. For certain things, I just won't interact. Because to me, when you come in at 10, I immediately dismiss you. Because in my mind, you're not here for a conversation. You're here for a debate. I don't want to fucking debate you. I don't want you to put out your bullet points. I don't want you to hit me with links. I don't want you to hit me with pictures and facts. No, let's have a conversation. But because you've been on here all day fussing and arguing back and forth with people all day, you just assume that everybody that you interact with has this purpose, when that's not true for a large percentage of people. But because you get in these circles where y'all go at each other all the time, you think everybody's like this.
And I think we built up walls and we're very defensive. And that's human nature as well. But because of that, I think a lot of times we end up hurting each other and continuing to hurt each other. But if we will look inside and see the insecurity that drives us, that's the real us.
true.
That little kid that we're trying to protect to keep things from hurting that kid, that's the real us. And the real us wants to be loved, even if it's irrational. We won't be loved by everybody.
Accept it.
You know, we don't want to be betrayed. We don't want to be stabbed. You know, we don't want to
hurt.
Right. We like, we're trying to keep ourselves from being hurt. So a lot of times when you do have white people that are kind of in this situation, these situations, they are in a situation where a lot of white people have hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come in and it's, you know, you're trying to help, or you're trying to at least be understanding or be a good person. And it's like, yeah, some black people are never gonna let you, like, the hurt of the last white person is gonna always be on your shoulders as well. And that's what it is in that space, you know? And I think that's just what it, you know, that's just how it has to be. But it's funny because I don't know, I was just thinking this the other night, and I was just like, yo, I really think for the most part, when we go on 10 like that, it's just like you are about to hit our little kid, and so we have to protect it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if I saw like Olivia on Twitter being like, all lives matter, I would immediately have like a over-the-top response, because I, you know, or perfect example, when I see anyone bring up black on black crime now,
yeah,
anyone, that's, now keep in mind, that is probably gone too far. Cause I do care about black on black crime.
Yes, sir.
I just get tired of motherfuckers using it to deflect from police violence.
Right.
Cause those two things should never be brought up in the same sentence.
Mm-mm.
But I've now gotten to the point where I've had the conversation so much. It's such a buzzword. I've seen the conversation completely be derailed by this so much that I've now got to the point where a person can legitimately bring up black on black crime and they can care about it and they can want something done about it. And my mind's first response is typically, this motherfucker. So why we gotta talk about this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real problem because white people do it this much and we do it just a little bit more than that. Now we got a problem in our community. Like,
that's
no,
normally the conversation.
Right.
Now.
But some people have lost brothers and sisters and family to this shit.
Yes, they have.
And it's not a game for them. It's not mm-hmm. a thought exercise, and it's not an online debate. It's a very real thing that happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be some deference shown towards them. And I don't want to have that stripped from me as a human being to be dismissive of somebody who ultimately does care on a genuine level. They're not actually saying this to troll. They're not saying this to out of animosity or to derail a conversation. They legitimately care. And now you can't talk about it because so many people use it to troll black people.
Right.
So it is that's a great example of what I'm talking about, where ultimately it's my fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I fear you're going to use black on black crime to now reject me saying, what about the humanity of these victims of police violence?
Right.
So I'm already on edge, like, oh, here you go with the black on black crime. But nah, it, you know, when Kendrick talks about black on black crime, on his album, not in the interview, y'all, mm-hmm. but when he talked about, and I'm not even talking about on the last album, I mean, the first two that I heard anyway, mm-hmm. with Good Kid, Mad City, that whole album basically about black on black crime.
Yes, sir.
From a very personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point does it turn into what these white folks did to us or mm-hmm. this white person, like it doesn't turn into the systematic thing. It's just, as a person growing up in Compton, this is my experience, and I don't understand why we can't stop this cycle amongst ourselves. And ultimately he uses religion to exemplify why, or as his example of why, or of a way to break the cycle. But the point being, he cares. He's not just a person saying, what about black on black crime, only when someone says Black Lives Matter,
right,
or says, what about the cops killing us? So it's kind of like my defense mechanism is can also be harmful. And I think that's what happens in a lot of these cases, is that our defense mechanism doesn't lead to a solution, because the truth of the matter is we just want to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that whiteness is in a space that is about pro-blackness, there will always be distrust, because we're trying to protect ourselves, and we've had passes, quote unquote, given out to white people who turned around and ultimately rejected blackness and pro-blackness and black-centeredness and
walked away.
Yeah, you know, some, when I brought this stuff about John Stewart on Twitter, someone, so a black woman said, so I guess you just don't want allies in. And I had to block her. I didn't want to block that sister, but I had to block her because it was the most loaded, ridiculous assessment of what I said at no point. But it was simply like, and maybe that was her defense mechanism of, you're talking about John Stewart and I like him and I think he does good work. And she never saw anything past that because she has to protect her part that likes John Stewart. So I wondered if that's just a, I don't know, this probably got way too deep. But I just think everybody has that in them and we use it.
Most people do.
He says, I totally agree with you that black people should not be under any obligation. Oh, wait, I already say that. Oh, yeah. Thank you for speaking up so much for Leslie Jones. She is hilarious and awesome in so many ways. I agree. Mm-hmm. P.S. Really loving this white people news segment. Everybody's favorite. That spat between Jenny McCarthy and Tara Reid was absolutely priceless. Mm-hmm. I hope you stay married. Good luck on Sharknado 18.
Watch them wobbly knees.
I'm not usually a fan of Jenny. Well, yeah. Ain't she one of those, like, anti-vaxxers?
Got these folks' kids dying and getting sick out there.
Mm-hmm. But she was channeling the spirit of Lady Olena Tyrell in that interview.
Yeah!
With her Hope You Stay Married and Good Luck on Sharknado 18. Still laughing my ass off at those. Yeah. Cause maybe your knees can get a little wobblier. Good luck for that on the move. Love you guys, John. Thank you, John, for writing in.
Thank you.
All right, man. So that's it for today's show. We may be back tomorrow. We'll let you know. Definitely won't be back the rest of the week.
Okay. But in case we don't do a show tomorrow, there's two short things I wanted to say. Number one, player. I wanted to let y'all know that I had, people that had wrote in about, Layla Duke covering, the life of pets with us.
Secret Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets. Mm-hmm. I told Layla that y'all enjoyed her and things like that because I seen her yesterday. I said, they enjoyed you. She said, what they say about me? I said, they enjoyed you. I said, they said you. Well, she said, I'm not adorable. I said, yes, you are. Regardless if you want to be or not, you're adorable. And she hadn't listened to it, so I actually just played that one show for her. Mm-hmm. And so she actually got to actually listen to it because she hadn't listened to it. You know, she was in the room with us, but she hadn't listened to the recording. So mother allowed me just to play that Life of Pets episode for her. So I played that for her, and she really enjoyed it. So I want y'all to know, because we told her after we did the show we was going to tell her about y'all feedback. So we did tell her about the feedback, and then everybody loved her, and, you know, they can't wait to get her on again. I think with BFG's the next one. She hadn't seen it yet either, so... I told her some other more kid stuff probably coming out soon that we're gonna possibly cover with her. So she's excited about being the kids correspondent. Mm-hmm. So you know, so certain kids movies coming out, when y'all see Layla's name, y'all know that y'all be able to play it for your children too, because it will be squeaky clean.
Did she see the BFG yet?
No, she hasn't seen it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, because I asked her yesterday, she said she hasn't seen it yet.
All right.
And also, I had went to go pick some food up and ran into a fan.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that dude, John or whatever.
Jonathan. Yeah, cause it was hilarious. I had, walked in, cause I was with your mama. I had walked in and, I seen him look up at me and I looked up, you know, cause people look at you all the time. I kept saying, he looking at me. Okay, cool. And I walked past, you know, we ordered, you know, got a food cause I called it in. We picked the food up, and on the way back, he turned around. And he looked at me, he says, your name Karen? I said, yes. Then he was like, he told me he was a fan of the show. He's in the Facebook group and me and him, you know, talked, and he was saying he loved your show. So it was me, him, and your mama there. And I introduced him to your mama. And so we was just having a conversation. And I don't know if this white dude was with Jonathan or not, but this white dude was drunk as a skunk. And he walked over there and he was talking to us, and he was telling us that we was black and all that stuff. It was just a weird, because
he was telling y'all that y'all were black.
Yes.
What does that mean? Y'all are black.
Yeah, because he was drunk. He was like, yeah, well, y'all, you know, all y'all, you know, y'all black, and you know, I love black people, and
okay.
And so it was just hilarious because he was smashed. And so, I took a picture with him, and it just so happened when I took the picture, the drunk white dude was like in the background, I put it up online and things like that, but he was sweet and he was kind, and I made a joke. I was like, y'all be everywhere, so you know. And I thank you, and sweetie, it was wonderful meeting you.
Yeah, I love that. As soon as I went, I was like, oh, okay, he was drunk. I know every black person in that listen to this is like, mm-hmm, because we all know white people get drunk, they'd be like, listen, I don't care about your skin or my skin, we're all the same skin to me, and you're a black man, and I respect that, okay?
We all busted out laughing.
I'm just like, here we go, your ass is drunk. I'm drunk and I know I'm drunk.
Did I tell you I was drunk? If I didn't tell you I was drunk, I want you to know I am drunk.
Yeah, as soon as you get home, you're gonna turn Fox News back on. Anyway, what I did want to say before we left is TrillT.com.
Oh, yeah, okay. Why are you talking about that? They sent us some tea. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you know right now, the tea is delicious. Oh, give me a few seconds and I get the boxes. Hold on.
Yes, TrillT.com. It's steeped in the culture, as they say. But they sent us a bunch of free samples of different tea that they have. And, it's the business. Okay. Karen has been tearing it up. She drinks tea before every episode pretty much. And you know, normally we put it in the Keurig and stuff, but this is a Keurig tea. This is like, you know, old school, drop a bag. But when you see, go to trilltea.com and look at some of these the bags. Like even a bag, you can see the ingredients. Normally I'm just used to you looking at a bag full of chopped up spices looking stuff, and this joint is like, you know, you can see berries and shit in it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. They got one called Sofa Jehoa, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a nut, cinnamon apples. And the nut cinnamon apples, you can actually taste the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so delicious. And they have another one. It's called Lemon Courage. It's actually really, really good, too. And the thing about this tea, you have to let it seep for about 10 to 12 minutes, and you let it sit, and it is awesome. And when you look inside, because it comes in this, I'm gonna say like a, the bag is like a see-through bag, and so you literally can see like the nuts and the berries and the raisin, like all the stuff. And when you open up, you smell all this freshness. I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. Like the cinnamon apple one smell like cinnamon, the other, like, you get all this just rush of smell, and it is really, really good.
It's like potpourri,
right? That's what the little bag looked like a little potpourri bag.
but it's for tea,
and it is delicious. So shout out to them for sending samples. I want y'all to know I'm drinking it, and I am absolutely positively loving it. And also, mm-hmm, before we leave,
hey, wait, hold on, and it's called Sofa Goji.
Oh, goji, I mispronounced that. I'm sorry, sweetie,
that you were talking about. But yeah, they have like six different flavors and whatnot, and it's basically a black tea company dedicated to black people, man. So I mean, anybody can drink it, obviously, but you know, you go to the site and you just see all this blackness sipping on this tea. So
it is delicious.
Now whenever people say what's the tea, it's Sofa Goji, it's nuts and apple, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Karen, what was the last thing you're gonna say? I'm sorry.
Before we leave, I remember when we had went to Dexter at Shallow Dog Productions. Mm-hmm. I was telling y'all about the girl who did my makeup,
and Sunny.
Her name is Sunny Alexandria, and she's in the Atlanta area, so for like weddings and proms and things like that. She does cosplay for Dragon Con
and stuff.
Yeah, it's coming to town, so hit her up for cosplay if you happen to be in town. Her telephone number is 404-604-4586. That number again is 404-604-4586. And it's beautybysunny@gmail.com. So, get up with her for Dragon Con is coming, makeups and things. So she's in the Atlanta area. She did a beautiful job on my makeup. And I know it's a lot of women out there that's like me. I don't know how to put on makeup. And she will make you look like $1 billion. And you will look natural and you will look flawless because she did a wonderful, wonderful job. And I told her I was going to put her information on the air.
There you go, guys. 2-hour feedback show. Out of nowhere, all right? just talking about all kinds of existential shit. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you guys possibly tomorrow. If not, we'll just talk to you guys next week. Mm-hmm. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.